إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, it was the dua of one of the pious scholars of Islam. He used to continuously make this dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala: اللهم لا تحرمنا خير ما عندك لشر ما عندنا. Oh Allah, don't deprive us of your favors because of the wrong that we do. Oh Allah, don't grudge us because of our evil, our vice, our transgression, our violation. Oh Allah, don't hold our wrong against us. The Quran says, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. Allah says, if I have to start punishing man proportionate to his wrong, they would not remain a living creature on this earth. Friends and elders, despite our wrong from the last Ramadan up to this Ramadan, safely we can say we are not in a position that we deserve another Ramadan. Yet it is the sheer mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He has once again afforded us, endowed us, honored us, favored us with this great month of Ramadan. The ayat kareemah that I have recited, commonly heard and discussed in the month of Ramadan, Allah Rabbul Izzat, in the most comprehensive and concise manner, explains and outlines the reason, the wisdom, and the significance behind Sawm and fasting. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykumus siyam. Fasting has been made obligatory upon you, has been made compulsory upon you. The natural question is, oh Allah, for what reason? Na'udhu billah, does Allah derive pleasure in seeing us hungry? Wallah, brothers, the concluding verse of the fifth juz of the Quran, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah says, just as it is painful for you to see someone burn in Jahannam, it is equally, if not more painful, for Allah to see people burning. Allah says, I derive absolutely no pleasure in seeing any of my creation suffering in any way. Allah derives no pleasure in seeing us going through hunger and thirst. There is some reason, there is some wisdom. And really, if we have to analyze the hunger and the thirst, just to digress for a moment, if we have to analyze the hunger and the thirst that you and I would be experiencing in Ramadan and in the days of Ramadan, wallah, in relation to what Sahaba experienced as far as hunger and thirst, our hunger is nowhere compared to the hunger of Sahaba. If we study the lives of Sahaba, then we can safely say hunger and thirst was not something exclusively reserved to Ramadan. Wallahi, it was the order of the day. It was the price of preserving Iman. There was no joy as Ramadan ended or as sunset came closer. Because just as there was hunger at the time of Siri, there was hunger at the time of Iftar. Be it the beginning of Ramadan, be it the ending of Ramadan, hunger and thirst in the life of Sahaba was the order of the day, was the price of Iman. Someone told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, حَدِّثْنَا عَنْ شَأْنِ سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ. Oh Umar, we accepted Islam later. You accepted earlier. Narrate to us some of the difficulties you people encountered in the initial stages with Nabi alayhi salam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, let me just tell you one incident where wallah, thirst was so unbearable that every sahabi thought today he's going to die out of thirst. This was the general condition which did not see an end, which did not terminate at the sighting of the crescent of Shawwal. But this was the continuous condition of Sahaba Ikram. He says, on the occasion of Tabuk, when the Nabi of Allah made tashkil for us to join him in this campaign, the journey was long and it was extremely hot. The heat was intense. That is why many of the hypocrites felt that let us not join. Why? The heat is, it's extremely hot. The Quran makes mention regarding this in the last quarter of the 10th juz of the Quran. فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ بِمَقْعَدِهِمْ خِلَافَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. That those people that remained behind when the Nabi of Allah went in Tabuk, and what did they say? لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ. Really, it is so long and it is extremely hot. How are you going to travel in this heat? Allah revealed the verse and Allah said, those that will bear and contain and resist the heat of this world, tell them they will be exempted from the heat of Akhirat. But those that cannot bear and contain and resist and endure the heat of this world, tell them the heat of Jahannam. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّا. Tell them the heat of Jahannam is much more intense than the heat of this world. Sayyidina Umar says, we were in this campaign. We came to a certain place. We halted there. Wallah, there was such thirst. حَتَّى ظَنَنَّا أَنَّ رِقَابَنَا سَتَنْقَتِ. Every sahabi felt today out of thirst. This will be his last moments. This wasn't, brothers, when we experience in hunger and thirst, let us revive what was the condition of sahaba. My mothers and sisters, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Asma radiallahu anha says, my husband Zubair radiallahu anhu was gone out in the path of Allah with Nabi alayhi salam. I was at home and there was absolutely nothing in the house. Like I said, this was the general condition, be it Ramadan or outside Ramadan. Our hunger is controlled. It's catered for. We look at the watch, 3 hours time my thirst will be quenched. 2 hours time I will eat the meal of my choice. We have designed, it's planned, it's programmed. There's nothing of severe challenges. Sahaba, be it sunset, be it sunrise, be it Shawwal, be it Shaban, hunger was the order of the day. And brothers, if we cannot even resist this little, then what fraction of Iman are we holding on to? Let's try and get perfection in one order of Allah. Namaz is not right, zakat is not right, hajj is not right. Let's see that we fast with the correct spirit. Who knows that hunger and thirst with the correct zeal may be the means of solving our problem on the day of Qiyamah. She says, وَلَنَا جَارٌ مِّنَ الْيَهُودِ. We had one Yahudi neighbor. My husband is gone out. The daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. فَذَبَحَتْ شَاتًا. The next door, my neighbor, she slaughtered a sheep. فَتُبِخَتْ. It was then roasted. فَوَجَدْتُ رِيحَهَا. And of course, I got the fragrance sitting in my house. وَأَنَا حَامِلٌ بِإِبْنَتِي خَدِيجَةً. And at that time, while my husband is out with the Nabi of Allah, there's absolutely no food in the house. The neighbor has slaughtered and roasted a sheep. I was an expecting mother. In my stomach was my child, who later was a girl and became, whose name was Khadija. She explains this here. She says, Ya Allah, my husband is gone out in the path of Allah. There's nothing here at home. The neighbor has cooked something. The smell is hitting me. The desire, the human inclination, and brothers, when a woman is pregnant, there is that unusual crave that she experiences. She has desire for strange things. She's expecting, the fetus is developing in her womb. She says, the thought came in my mind, let me perhaps go to the neighbor and make the excuse of borrowing some fire or firewood. Who knows, perhaps on the grounds of courtesy or hospitality, this woman would extend a meal to me. So she says, I got up and I went there. I asked the neighbor that I just came to borrow some firewood or some fire. So she said, no problem, you can take the fire and go. I took 1-2 flames. Wallahi ma bi haja min al-nar. Allah's qasam, I didn't have the slightest need of any flame, no firewood. I could give that woman more. The only reason I went, my hunger was unbearable. My husband was gone. There was a child in my stomach and I was crying. I came back. She says, when I held that flame and that smoke hit me, the thirst became unbearable. The crave for the food hit me so bad. I said, if I'm going to keep these flames, it will aggravate my hunger. So I extinguished it. Again the smell came. This is, I cried to Allah. I said, Ya Allah, who is listening to me? Oh my Allah, take pity on my condition. Abki wa ad'u. I'm crying. I went back. I said, let me make it a second excuse. Maybe this woman will sympathize. I came back. I said, have you got some flames again? She says, no problem, you can take. Wallah brothers, let our women folk understand. If they feel while they're in the kitchen and cooking and they are tempted with food, they know at sunset the hunger will end. They know at Shawwal the hunger will end. Let us revive the likes of Asma, that this was the price of preserving Iman. She says, I went again. The same procedure was repeated. Somehow this woman did not extend hospitality to me. The third time, I cried, I fell down, I broke. I said, Ya Allah, you take pity on me. It was in this interim that this woman's husband came, the Yahud, the man. He asked the wife at home, أَدَخَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَحَدْ. Did anybody come visiting home today? So the wife said, الْعَرَبِيَّةُ تَقْتَبِسْ نَارًا. You know our Arab neighbor here, this lady, she came to ask for some flames of fire. That was about it. So the husband said, no, I will not put a morsel in my food until you don't send a platter of food next door. Asma radiallahu anha says, Wallah, when that food came close to me, it was the most delicious meal that I have ever eaten in my life. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I came to Nabi alayhi salam to visit him, and he's sitting and performing salah. So I said, this riwayat comes in Hilya. I said, Mali araka tusalli jalisan ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, what is it that you are performing salah sitting? Why aren't you standing? Nabi alayhi salam just looked at he pointed towards his stomach, and he said, Ya Abu Huraira al-Jur. Abu Huraira, what must I tell you? The pangs of hunger, severe hunger, your Nabi can't stand today. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I couldn't control myself. I burst out into tears. Brothers, this was not in Ramadan. Understand. Wallah, Allah has been so kind to us. Allah has made it so easy for us. Even if we, that Allah accept this little form of contribution on our part, wallah, it is the sheer mercy of Allah and nothing else. I cried. I said, O Nabi of Allah, what is this? Nabi alayhi salam said, La tubki ya Aba Huraira, fa inna shiddat al hisab inda Allah yawm al qiyamah la tusib al ja'i'a idha ihtasaba fi dar al dunya. Abu Huraira, don't cry. My Allah promised me, those that will be hungry in this world will never be hungry on the day of Qiyamah. Abu Huraira, my Allah promised me. Ka'b ibn Ujra says, I walk into the masjid, the Nabi of Allah is pale. I looked at him, I sense he was hungry. A child walks in, the mother knows he is hungry. Imagine the reaction of Sahaba. I said, O Nabi of Allah, mali araka mutaghayyir al-lawn. What is it that your color has turned pale? Nabi alayhi salam said, Ka'b, 3 days have lapsed. Nothing edible has entered the stomach of your Nabi. Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, I excuse myself. I went to go work for someone. I got some dates in lieu of my working. I came and I put the dates before the Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam said, Awa tuhibbuni ya Ka'b? Ka'b, you love me? I said, Bi abi wa ummi ya Rasulallah. I love you, O Nabi of Allah. Wallah, when I seen hunger, I couldn't resist. Immediately I toiled, I brought something. Nabi alayhi salam said, Undur ma taqul. Are you convinced you love me, Ka'b? Allah's qasam, I love you, O Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ka'b, ponder in what you are saying. Contemplate in what you are saying. In kunta sadiqa, fa'a'idda lil faqri tijfafa, lal faqru asra'u ila man yuhibbuni min as-sayli ila muntaha. O Ka'b, prepare yourself for hunger. If you are ready and you claim to say you love me, then prepare yourself for difficulties and hardships. For difficulties will come faster to that person who loves me than water will roll down a slope. Difficulties will come faster to that person who claims to love me than how water will roll down a slope. So my brothers, in essence, Allah mentions in this ayat, what is the wisdom of taqwa? What is the wisdom of fasting? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah says that it inculcates within you the fear of Allah. To discipline yourself. Friends and elders, if in the month of Ramadan, Allah has made lawful things unlawful, in the form of food, drink and cohabitation with one's partner, lawful wife and spouse. If the halal things have been haram, then what words can describe the level of prohibition of those things that are always forbidden? Misusing our eyes, misusing our tongue, ghibat and all the other sins. If halal things have been made haram, then can we imagine the prohibition of haram? وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Allah says, abandon all forms of sin, be it internal or be it external. Really Allah forgive, there are certain sins in our life which we haven't yet intended to abandon, which is the first step of giving up wrong. There are some wrongs with which we are living, we are guilty of. We haven't yet intended that I got to stop this wrong in my life. How long will I live with this wrong that my fajr is performed at home? When will I end this? We haven't yet intended, which is the first step of recovery. The ulama say Allah accepted the tawbah of Adam alayhi salam for 5 reasons. This month is a month of forgiveness. In the heart of every believer, there is that subtle desire that I need to reform my life. Every believer in his heart has that desire. I can't live like this and I can't die. I need to change my life. I need to strengthen my bond with Allah. That's a subtle feeling in the heart and in the mind of every believer. Really brothers, this Ramadan is that chance. Capitalize on this and make this ambition a reality before it becomes too late. The ulama say Adam alayhi salam repented to Allah for 5 reasons Allah accepted his tawbah. Number one, we are speaking of the sin when he ate from the forbidden tree. The first reason is that Adam alayhi salatu was salam aqarra ala nafsi. He acknowledged his wrong. He admitted he's wrong. As long as a man is on denial, ask the medical doctor that will tell you when a patient has been diagnosed of cancer, the most difficult patient to treat was is the one that's denying his problem. He's still on denial that I don't have cancer. My brother, it's time you acknowledge it that you have the cancer. These are the options you have, and now you can go forward towards cure. As long as the ummah is denying, they will never repent. The first thing that Adam alayhi salam was, he acknowledged it. And he acknowledged it in such stern words, I will explain in the light of Quran. The second thing, أَقَرَّ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ نَدِيمَ, he regretted. Tawbah in essence is to regret. It needs to hurt you. Sometimes you offend your wife and then you feel bad about it. And the natural reaction of remorse is that now you want to do something to patch up the wrong. That's a human reaction. You've offended, you hurt your child, then you go and hug him, you kiss him, you buy something in to cover up, to patch up for the wrong that you have done. Wallahi, has regret come in our hearts seriously for disobeying Allah? The second thing that Adam alayhi salam had was regret. The third thing that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam had, lama nafsahu, he blamed himself and no one else. The fourth thing, asra'at tawbah, he hastened towards repentance. And the fifth thing that he did was, he did not become deprived or despondent of the mercy of Allah. He admonished himself in the most severe words. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Oh my Allah, I have transgressed myself. Oh my Allah, I have oppressed myself. And what is it? He ate from the forbidden tree. And in that consuming of him eating from that forbidden tree, the scholars have also explained one reason why he did this. He perhaps thought that the prohibition that Allah had given was motivated by kindness and not by religion. Like many a times you tell your child, don't walk outside without socks. Now naturally that is not to, you know, it's not a command, but rather it's a command in the kindness of the child, in the good nature of the child, to save that child. So if a child doesn't obey his father in that regard, it's not termed as disobedience, because that particular command came in the interest of himself. Some scholars say that Adam alayhi salam felt the prohibition from the tree was a command of that nature. Adam, don't eat from there. Although the command was of a divine command, there was misunderstanding in the understanding of Adam alayhi salam. Nevertheless, he did not justify, he did not argue, he did not verify. He acknowledged, oh my Allah, I have oppressed myself, I have wronged myself. And if you don't pardon me, oh Allah, I will be a loser. Awam ibn Hawshab rahmatullah alayhi, brothers, like I mentioned, the object of fasting is taqwa. The Quran says we have to bring the awareness of Allah. Just as in the month of Ramadan, two things in essence we will find. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as long as my ummah will delay their sehri and have their iftar immediately, they will attract the mercy of Allah. Listen to this hadith. Nabi alayhi salam says, as long as my ummah will delay their sehri and have their iftar immediately at sunset, they will attract the mercy of Allah. If we have to analyze this particular command of Nabi alayhi salam, then perhaps we will not find a spiritual dimension to this particular command. Having sehri at the last moments, just before the time of Fajr sets in, and likewise having iftar immediately at sunset, this is our human desire, our human inclination. We would obviously want to eat immediately at sunset, and we would preferably delay our sehri so that we ate later, so that we have sufficient strength to take us across the day. But the ulama ikram explained the reason for this is that in this particular demonstration, a servant manifests and expresses servitude in totality. That, oh my Allah, I will eat. I will eat as long as you tell me to eat. Once, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ. When that black line becomes evident to you and the time of sehri ends, oh my Allah, I will stop at that moment. So I will eat till the time you permit. The time you terminate my meals, I will stop. Be it the morsel in my hand or in my mouth, when you said the time is over, it's over. I will not eat for the duration you said I cannot eat. At the time you said I must continue eating, I will not show independence that I can eat later. The time you commanded, I will eat. You will decide and dictate what I eat, when I eat, how I eat. This is the life of servitude. Under the commentary of this ayat, the ulama say, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those that make effort in our path. In essence, what does this ayat require from us? The ulama say, in a nutshell, this ayat requires that the servant abandons a life of personal desire and adopts a life of Allah's desire. Allahu Akbar. The servant abandons. When I read the kalima and I have matured, I have pledged with my Allah that now I don't have choice in my decisions. Yes, my choice, my Allah told me, you look at my desire and I will consider your desire in akhirat. But if you want to try and fulfill it here, wallah, there you will definitely be deprived. Even in this world, you will be deprived. Friends and elders, I want to mention something very important. Time is running out. When we speak of taqwa, which is the essence of fasting, the reason for which, now this fasting is regulated in our life, it's discipline in our life. Just as we have disciplined ourselves in food, in drink, we have to discipline our entire life in every aspect. The ulama say, أَرْبَعٌ بَعْدَ الذَّنْبِ شَرٌ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ. There are four things after a sin that is worse than the sin itself. That means when a person commits a sin, that is one wrong, that is one vice, that is one violation. But if he addresses the sin in a particular attitude, then that attitude of his is worse than the sin that has been committed. Listen to this very attentively. Al-istisghar. After disobeying Allah, and then considering Allah's disobedience as trivial, as minute, as insignificant, that attitude, that notion towards the violation of the command of the Supreme Being, that attitude, the ulama say, will cause you more harm than the sin that you have committed. So after disobeying Allah, to trivialize what was so wrong about what I did, you violate the command of the Supreme Being and you refer to it as minor, that is more major than the crime itself. The first thing, al-istisghar, sawm and fasting has to bring taqwa into us. كَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوءِ. There are many who fast but achieve nothing but hunger. وَكَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ كَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوءِ. There are many who fast but get nothing out of fast other than hunger and thirst. And there are many who stand up in salah and who get nothing other than tiredness and fatigue. The second harm after disobeying Allah, الاستبشار. After disobeying Allah, to rejoice on Allah's disobedience. How sad you will find a group of youth congregate, and they will then tell the other one, you missed it. You had to join us last night. I enjoyed a woman of this nature. I enjoyed this so much, with such pride, with such honor. That attitude, disobeying Allah, and then boasting on Allah's disobedience, such a man should fear he will be deprived of iman. And the ulama say, there's one person that's worse than the second person. The one who committed the sin and then rejoices, he is worse than the one that committed. But there is one worse than the one who rejoices, and that is the one who regrets that I could not commit. So when the group got together and the youth spoke about last night, we enjoyed a woman like this, and we drank like this, and we did that, and we enjoyed the night. And the one that could not be part of that evil, he now feels deprived and regretted. He is worse than the one rejoicing over that sin. Sawm is to do away with sin. Brothers, how sad. Allah forgive. Today a man, Allahu Akbar, Allah guide one and all. A man, in the name of the love of his children, boasts and is proud about this, that I made it easy for my children. I love them. So I decided I'll put a devil box in every room. You don't have to come in the lounge to go to Jahannam. From your room you can go to Jahannam. Perhaps it might be harsh, but what else is it? What is he seeing on there? My brother, my sister, you don't know what your son is seeing when he's sleeping. Wallahi, if that is the way he sleeps every night, the night he's going to leave this world, that will be his same sights. Boasting and bragging on the wrong that you are doing, that is worse than the wrong. Al-istisghar, wal-istibshar, wal-ightirar, to disobey Allah and then not see any consequences in your life, because of which you become more brave to violate the orders of Allah. So the doctor said, I have sugar, I mustn't drink cold drink. But when I'm drinking cold drink, I'm enjoying myself even more. It's quenching my thirst. It's not putting up my blood pressure in any way. My brother, it will not manifest itself now, but the day the harm of this coke, because of your diabetes, will manifest itself, it will be too late. Either it will be cancer or you'll be terminally ill. At the moment, immediately you won't see the harm. The third harm, that after disobeying Allah, the hadith says, if I don't perform fajr namaz, the devil urinates in my eye, in my ears. I don't perform fajr, but I enjoy the sleep. Who said there will be problems in my life? Till today I have been misusing my eyes. I haven't seen any problem. The day this problem gains strength within you and expresses itself, it will be too late. That's the third harm, that to be deceived by not seeing what Allah has promised on that crime, because of which you excel further in that crime. And the fourth thing is al-israr, that after doing that wrong, to persist on Allah's disobedience, to insist on Allah's disobedience. How long will we continue with that wrong? Will we not for a moment at least try occasionally? Occasionally let us abandon our wrong. The right thing would be immediately, totally, permanently to terminate and abandon. But this nature of persisting, daily will I shave my beard without fearing Allah? Will this practice remain in my life? Will I persist and insist? That attitude is worse than the sin. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He give us the tawfiq to value this month of Ramadan. Welcome this month of Ramadan. In moments of hunger and thirst, let us revive the likes of Sahaba. This was their daily condition. Allah has made it so easy for us. Let us value it. Let us welcome it. Let us enjoy it. Let us anticipate it. May Allah accept it. Give us the tawfiq to honor Ramadan, cherish Ramadan, fast with the correct zeal and desire. Make it the turning point of our life. Brothers, every Ramadan, we make an intention, for Ramadan I will change my life. I will not look at wrong. I will perform salah. Proportionate to our intention, Allah aids us. We find that man who before Ramadan could not start his day with Fajr Salah, during the month of Ramadan, he's starting his day with Tahajjud Salah. That man who couldn't listen to Quran in Ramadan, he's complete in Quran. This is the strength that Allah has given man. When he makes a commitment, when he decides something, this is how Allah enables him. Let us not be foolish to restrict our good intention for Ramadan. Till today we've been intending Ramadan. Accordingly, Allah has been helping us. The home has been full of happiness, tilawat, piety, obedience, submission. Let us say inshallah from today onwards, and just as we intended Ramadan, proportionate to that Allah aided us. Let us say from today onwards, inshallah we will see Allah will aid us. May Allah give us the tawfiq and bless us with this month of Ramadan. Make us amongst those fortunate souls whose emancipation and deliverance from the fire of Jahannam is confirmed, and entrance into the gardens of Jannah eternally. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.